Broadcasting live from the Wake Forest Business Radio X studios in North Carolina, it's time for Metro Raleigh Business Radio, where business leaders in Raleigh come to tell their stories.
Good afternoon and welcome to NC Tech Talk, North Carolina's internet radio broadcast covering the tech sector. I'm Mark Montoro with the North Carolina Technology Association, or NCTA as we are affectionately known by our members, and your host for this month's show. For those of you unfamiliar with NCTA, we are a nonprofit membership-driven trade association and the primary voice of the tech sector. NCTA supports economic growth through three initiatives: executive engagement, which is our term for events, public affairs, where we lobby in front of state and federal government, and knowledge workforce, or workforce development, which is our initiative for helping companies find the talent and job seekers find the next step in their career. If you want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at NCTA, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. If you'd like to receive update tweets on this show or would like to make comments, be sure to tweet them to #NCTechTalk. We're broadcasting live from Business Radio X's Metro Raleigh station at the Wireless Research Center in North Raleigh, and our show airs on the fourth Monday of every month and features North Carolina business leaders discussing their company's impact on the tech sector. So today's show is going to feature executives from two companies that have made their mark on North Carolina's market. Joining us today is Ray Carey, CEO of Neonova.
Hello.
Hey, Ray. Also with us, Stephanie Trunzo, who is the Chief Creative Officer for PointSource.
Hi.
So, Ray, we're going to kick off right with you. You spent your first 10 years of your career with Azure Capital Partners and consulted on an impressive investment portfolio. One of those companies were Neonova. You served on the board and then became the CEO in 2010. So tell us a little bit about Neonova and what do you guys do? Why do you do it?
Yeah, sure. We take the scary out of the cloud, and we do it because we really love service and serving people and helping people. Kidding aside, the cloud promises huge productivity gains for all users, but the change management can be very, very difficult. It can be a little bit scary and a little bit messy, and we're there to clean up the mess and keep things working.
Very good. So why rural markets then? How does Neonova make the business case to provide cloud-based services in broadband areas that tend to struggle with ROI?
Yeah. We don't just operate in the rural markets, but it's our heritage. It's in our hearts. We are owned by the National Rural Telephone Cooperative, and so we work for rural ISPs and rural electric cooperatives. But we also service businesses, locally here in Raleigh and across the country in 42 states. One of the things the cloud promises is to break down these barriers, assuming you have good broadband connection. If you download an app or if you funded something on Kickstarter, you may check the ratings, but most people aren't looking, hey, where is this physically located? Yeah. And so we try to help people adopt cloud technologies irregardless of location.
Very good. So Neonova was actually recently acquired by NRTC, but you kept operations here in Raleigh. What factors led to that decision? Are you glad you stayed?
Glad I stayed. Two major ones were the Crank Arm Brewery and NOFO restaurant in Five Points. But again, joking aside, Raleigh has a is a real special place. It has a great mix of talent and affordability and access that I think makes it a great place to build a technology-enabled service. And that's the category broadly defined from a business we'd put Neonova in. I can't think of a better place for us to be located.
Very good. So what can we expect from Neonova in the next year? What kind of inside scoop can you share with our thousands of listeners here?
Thousands
or
of
millions
listeners.
Of listeners.
I don't know about any big inside scoop. We continue to expand. We're moving across the hall this week. So we're not moving. I guess we're expanding across the hall is the right way. This week, we are doing some new interesting things with Microsoft to complement the business we've had on the Google and Google Apps side. So you may see some more things out of that. And we're going to continue to invest in the business both organically in growth as well as some inorganic things on the acquisition front. So you may see some of that through the balance of this year come out.
Very good. So I got to read some interesting things on your bios. First off, great picture. That's probably the bigger fish that I've seen in a while. But it also lists that you were a swimmer and you represented the U.S. at the 96 Olympics in Atlanta. I'm from Atlanta, so I was at least in the area when that happened. U.S. didn't do too bad, 26 medals in swimming alone. So tell us about that experience.
Well, I'm always careful to say I was a swimmer. So that was several pounds ago, as you can't tell on radio. But it was a phenomenal time. It got me, you know, into and through college. It helped me make lifelong friends. It took me all over the world. The Olympics obviously was here local, but, you know, the Pan Pacific Games were on, you know, yesterday. Yeah. So I was watching it with my daughter, and she couldn't imagine that, you know, that used to be me, right? So it was a great career. I had a really good time swimming.
Yeah. I had a lot of swimmer friends in college, and their discipline was pretty amazing. I mean, getting up at 4 or 5 in the morning, swimming in very cold water. So did that translate? How did you take some of those skills that you learned into the business career that you have now?
Yeah, I think it would be because swimming could be any sport, but the sort of set a lofty goal, work really hard, learn how to compete. Those things, I think, translate from sports into business and kind of into everything, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks, Ray. We'll come back to you in a minute. I know we talked a little bit about some of the hiring, so we'll want to touch on that in a little bit. But for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to NC Tech Talk on Business Radio X Metro Raleigh Station, the monthly internet radio show that's hosted by the North Carolina Technology Association. I mentioned earlier that one of the association's initiatives is knowledge workforce. So that's our term for workforce development. Our goal is to help companies find the talent they need and the technology professionals find the companies that they want to work for. And we have multiple resources that we offer to do that. We actually publish a monthly IT job trends report that covers employment statistics for the state. We also have an online job board where our member companies can post jobs for free. And we hold job fairs that offer that forum for those companies to meet job seekers face-to-face. We actually have our next one coming up on October 21st at NC State's McKimmon Center. Come check out the Triangle is what we call it. And we've already got some great companies like Bronto and Credit Suisse, Resolve It, SageWorks, and SchoolDude that are exhibiting. And we've had a lot of success in being able to connect North Carolina's talent with the companies that need it. So if you have some interest in exhibiting there, be sure to talk to us and we'll be able to help you out. But now we're going to turn to our next guest, Stephanie. Stephanie is the Chief Creative Officer for PointSource. We mentioned that earlier, but you also spent 13 years at IBM.
Yep.
Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Great to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about that career going from Big Blue to where you are now and in your company, PointSource.
Yeah, sure. So I think for myself personally, one of the interesting things has been I have a background in psychology, and I didn't think I was going to use it nearly as much as I have ended up using it. So moving into the mobile space has been a fascinating thing, because as the chief creative officer, I'm really focused on the design elements and how mobile is fundamentally changing how we live and work and operate our businesses and our lives. So it's been a really fascinating change for me personally.
Interesting. Yeah, it's everything from the design of that little icon to the way that interface is always very interesting. And PointSource seems to be on that forefront of mobile design and development. So tell us about some of those projects you're working on right now.
Yeah, sure. It's been a really cool experience to be able to dive into a lot of different businesses. So we work across industries, although we do primarily have a focus in both insurance and retail. One of the projects that we're working on right now is with a major retailer building their loyalty app. And that's a really cool space, because you're transforming how the business takes their value proposition and their brand differentiator and translates it into new ways of connecting with their audience and their customer base. So we're helping them develop this loyalty app to bring their loyal customers back to continue spending money with them. So loyal customers are typically about 20% of an overall customer base, but they make up 80% of the revenue. So making sure that you're connecting with them in new and interesting ways, bringing them into promotions and giving them more reasons to continue staying a loyal brand customer, it's a cool space to be exploring.
Yeah, very interesting. I can tell I know the past 5 purchases I've made have been for my phone alone, not
exactly.
Even getting to the computer. So yeah, that's very cool. Well, I'm going to kind of alter into the question order then, because you're talking a lot about what you're doing in the retail vertical and why mobile is so vital to that market. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, just to build on what you said, you know, it's an interesting change that as a shopper, we're not just in an in-store experience. We're not just on a web browser experience, but our shopping experience is seamlessly changing from channel to channel.
Absolutely.
So that's creating a lot of challenges for retailers to keep up with what this new omnichannel experience looks like. It's not just about ensuring that they have the right inventory across their store and their e-commerce. It's about how are you engaging users and customers differently based on the channel that they're in. So I think, you know, 80% of purchases, actual conversions to dollars, are influenced by mobile. So whether that means you actually make the purchase, as you said, on your mobile device, or you just started researching a product on your mobile device, doing some pre-shopping, then you ended up going into the store and completing the purchase. Whether that conversion actually happens on the mobile device or not, retailers need to be aware that that first touch point might actually be on a mobile device, even if the conversion actually happens in a different channel. We're working on some mobile commerce platform technology that incorporates all of these different channels in a way that you can actually create a very intentional and specific kind of experience per channel while having consistent brand experience, making it feel like you're part of that same experience, regardless of whether it's, you know, looking on your phone, playing with your iPad, sitting at a desktop, or actually in the store itself.
Yeah. Interesting experience I had was on Amazon, went and looking for a pair of golf shoes and left the site. I found about three or four different ones I liked, but then went to Pandora just to listen to some music. And the first thing that popped up, the ad for that exact shoe.
Absolutely. Yeah. The marketing potential is fantastic.
Interesting. So kind of switching to the technology side, you're an agile development firm. So tell us a little bit about that philosophy, why it's effective, and why you chose to go with that design.
Yeah, well, in the mobile space, as in, you know, many others with technology, it is so rapidly evolving. It's very difficult to keep pace with the change that we see right now. And so Agile is a critical differentiator for us when we work with our clients and deliver projects, because it helps us achieve that speed to market that everyone's looking for. So as quickly as possible, you need to be up to date on the latest technology, bringing that technology forward strategically so you're getting value out of it and changing the way that your business interacts with its customer base. As well, I think it's really important, as Ray was saying, to leverage cloud. So a lot of our Agile philosophy is about removing the cost of getting started and actually getting to the value of the project. And the more quickly you can get to the valuable conversations of what it is you're trying to develop and build, instead of spending 3 months on setting up an environment, the faster that we're able to bring that value to our clients.
Interesting. So I read in your bio, IBM for 13 years. So yep. I'd probably assume that's where your IBM business partner kind of grew from at Point Source. And then the recent news of that Apple IBM announcement sounds very exciting. So what does that mean for business and mobile usage in general?
Yeah, sure. So Point Source has been a company that's been around for 10 years now. So unlike, I think, a lot of other mobile firms that have cropped up in the past few years, Point Source has been around for a decade. And it was 2 years ago that they really focused specifically and solely on mobile. So Point Source has been an IBM business partner for, you know, I don't know, something like 6-7 years. Definitely my experience at IBM has been helpful in that realm, absolutely. The recent announcement, it's been a pretty cool thing, I think, for anyone to pay attention to these two moguls of industry kind of coming together and what that alliance looks like. For us, I think that there's something very interesting happening there with this, you know, we call it the secret third partner in the alliance, which is the ecosystem. As mobile has evolved, it's not just the form factors and the devices and the OSs themselves that has been interesting, but it is the app store concept, I think, that's been pretty fascinating, how people are able to contribute to this entire ecosystem. And with the Apple and IBM alliance, what I see happening that I think the enterprise level businesses have been looking for quite some time is an enterprise level app store. So actually being able to bring enterprise scale and robustness and some of the different kinds of features and functions that enterprises at a business level are looking for into an enterprise level app store. So there's contributions not just from Apple and IBM developing those apps, but the partners who are working in enterprise as well.
Yeah, I mean, it seems very like almost like a barrier of entry. I mean, unless you're on the iOS platform or Android platform, I mean, you have a lot of work just to get as many apps on those other platforms. It seems like that could be a challenge for that. But well, thank you, Stephanie. It sounds like Point Source is positioned for some great things. So, but as I was preparing for this interview with both of you, I learned that both your companies are positioned for some very positive growth. You both mentioned that. So I want to take some time and just talk about talent and hiring. So Ray, starting with you, how many jobs do you see Neonovo being able to create this year? What's your growth projection?
Yeah, we don't sort of publish specific numbers, but we can talk a little bit about what we've done and the trends that we're on. We have about 102 employees, sort of family members with us as of today. And 44 of those are folks that we've hired this year.
Oh, wow.
And we're continuing to hire. And, you know, we have the new chairs and terminals and desks being set up this week to hopefully so the new crop will have somewhere to sit on Monday.
Yeah.
And so we believe that we're going to continue to see that that kind of growth and momentum as we go forward.
Very good. Stephanie, what about Point Source?
I think we feel some of the similar kinds of growing pains that Ray just described. We're often talking about our next furniture order. I think that's a common, you know, growing company.
We could use an IKEA here in Raleigh.
Oh yeah, I know how many trips out there. We've sort of in a similar kind of growth pattern. We've tripled our size in the past 2 years, doubled it in the last year. So we are definitely on course to continue growing, bringing more jobs to the area across development, design, business analyst roles. We've got marketing roles and user experience, you know, a ton of different kinds of positions that we're hiring for to support all of the needs of the product development we're doing, as well as our services client business as well. So definitely on a path to keep bringing those new desks and chairs in.
Very good. So, well, then how do you look to attract? I mean, the one thing I think came up in both of the interview sheets that you guys filled out was about company branding. How do you develop that and really how you use that to attract more talent? So, Stephanie, how would you describe Point Source's company brand?
Yeah, sure. Culture is of the utmost importance to us. A lot of us have joined Point Source because we were interested in growing something ourselves and having a span of control and being able to focus on the mobile ingenuity that we're bringing to our clients. And so we want to make sure we're maintaining that culture, and it's critically important to us as an executive team that we do that. You know, we hire people for attitude and aptitude. It's really interesting to us that folks stay involved and loyal to one another. So they're interested in the work they're doing and they're happy doing it with each other. So building friendships and making sure we do the kinds of fun things that people enjoy, like, you know, food trucks at work and all of those kinds of, you know, charitable activities that we can focus on together, bringing everyone together around not just the projects they're working on, but the kinds of fun things that they would do in their spare time anyhow.
Yeah. Ray, you had even listed some philanthropic work. I mean, what is it like to go to work as a Neonovan?
As a Neonovan.
I made that up, by the way.
Well, it is. It's Neonovan or Neonovian. And there's a current argument. So there's a whole crew that you will have supporting. I certainly don't know the answer to that question. But we do try to focus a lot on a culture. We all spend, unfortunately, more time at the office than we spend with our friends, family, you know, teammates and colleagues. It's a significant commitment to where you're going to spend your 40, 50, 60, you know, dare I say 80, 100 hours a week, depending on the week.
Excellent.
And so we want to create an environment where people want to be. We try to do that, one, from an atmosphere perspective. And some of that is just what the physical space looks like and where it is and sort of the rules around how you operate there. Some is extending those walls into your community. So, you know, we are about local and we are about technology. So we spend a lot of time with Habitat for Humanity out and building. And I'm personally involved with them. We spend time with the Cramden Institute, which is a really cool place that rebuilds computers for folks. And so, you know, nothing says local like a house. And, you know, Cramden's sort of all about technology. And then, oddly enough, if you can get 20 or 30 Neonovians together, you can do a Nova whatever, Nova paintball. We were tubing down at Falls Lake. And so we'll sponsor people to get out and do, you know, sort of fun stuff together as long as they can, recruit enough folks in the office.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so kind of going back, and I'll just stay with you on this, on the your opinion of Raleigh's talent pool, but not just specifically around skill set. Obviously, there are some intangible skills that you look for. Tell us about what you see and versus what you're looking for right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think we see people that want to work hard, do good work, and know that that they're connected to a real project, mm-hmm. right? To a real project and real customers. So we've had a great time hiring folks. We can always use more. You know, specific skill sets wise, we can always use more people that have spent time in PHP specifically at Neonovo. So we got some open positions there. But in general, we're seeing that people want to work hard, and this is a place where people can, build a really good lifestyle and have a balance between a phenomenal lifestyle without sitting in traffic and, you know, paying through a nose for a house, and contribute to a, you know, a meaningful work environment on the professional side as well.
Interesting. Stephanie, same thing. Do you find more technical needs? How would you cut?
Yeah, I would say that Raleigh is a great place for building a tech company. I mean, I think it won number two in the country last year and number one on the East Coast. And, you know, there's a lot of obvious reasons. The different universities that are, you know, contributing talent to the hiring pool every single year. The number of other technology firms that are around is another reason. It just attracts a lot of talent. And I think, as Ray was saying, the, you know, quality of life here as well. People who are looking to start or raise a family. I think the young professionals have a really vibrant downtown that is, you know, continuing to evolve. Considering what Raleigh downtown looked like when I moved here 13 years ago compared to now, it's, you know, substantially different. I would say that, you know, the places that we're looking to continue seeing Raleigh, you know, grow talent and seeing people move in is really in the design space and user experience space. And I think that's an interesting evolution, too. And I'm hopeful that Raleigh continues to attract more talent in that area, because typically as technology firms grow in a certain location, you're going to find technical talent. And the next thing to follow usually is design and user experience as well. So we're watching that space pretty closely as we grow our own design focus and marketing focus.
Very good. Well, great. Well, I want to thank both our guests for their time, Stephanie and Ray. It was a pleasure having both of you. We look forward to hearing some great things about both of your companies. Both Point Source and Neonova have submitted nominations to the NC Tech Awards, which is our awards program where we recognize excellence in the tech sector throughout the state. We received over 500 applications for the awards this year, and then we'll be celebrating both the finalists and the winners at the Raleigh Convention Center on November 6th. So if you want to learn more about that, you can visit nctechawards.com. Thank you all again also for joining us on NC Tech Talk. If you want to learn more about this show, including archive broadcasts or anything that is NCTA, visit our website at nctechnology.org. You can also follow us on Twitter at NCTA or on LinkedIn. Or again, our hashtag is #NCTechTalk. Our next show will be held on Monday, September 22nd, so be sure to tune in then for the September broadcast of NC Tech Talk. Thank you and have a great afternoon.